sung these wonderful, inspiring, encouraging hymns on Easter Sunday. So many times we've read these resurrection accounts that we have almost just become familiar with it. And every so often we need God to jolt us back, to realize all that he has done for us in Jesus. When Jesus dies for us, when Jesus rises again from the dead, we need to be jolted back to standing in wonder and in awe at our God who has done these things for us. We listened last Sunday as Jesus made his way gently into Jerusalem with the crowd cheering and waving and welcoming him into Jerusalem. And yet, as we've read and listened, we know how things changed. We know that very soon things became horrific. Things changed totally. As you read through the Gospels, it's very clear that Jesus is not a victim of his circumstances. It's not that Jesus would just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and that's what happened. As you read through the Gospels, it becomes clear that Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem because that's what God wanted of him. He knew what would happen. We've watched as Jesus kneels and struggles in Gethsemane with what lies ahead of him. We've watched the horror of crucifixion. We've listened as Jesus cries out that triumphant cry, "It is finished. It's over, it's finished. It's done. I've accomplished what I came to do." And he gives himself to pay the price of our sin. But he didn't stay on the cross. Joseph of Arimathea asks Pilate, and he has permission to take the body of Jesus down off that cross and slide him into a tomb. But not just was the cross physically empty, no longer the body of Jesus hanging there. The cross was empty because there was no need for that to be done again. Jesus had paid the price. The writer to the Hebrews helps us understand this a little bit more. He simply says, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. Jesus, like the old high priests, doesn't have to offer a sacrifice again and again and again. He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. That's what the priests had to do. They offered a sacrifice because they were sinful people, and then they offered sacrifice on behalf of the people. Jesus is the one without sin. He's very different. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself once for all. Often people talk about the finished work of Jesus on the cross, and that's what it was. When Jesus dies, when Jesus says it's finished, that's what he meant. The debt's been paid. The price has been paid for your sin. It's finished. It doesn't need to be done again. It's over. Nothing can be added to it. We do need to remember that Jesus died on the cross. Of course we do. But we need to remember too that cross is now empty. The cross is empty because Jesus doesn't have to do it again. Once and for all, Jesus died for our sins. The cross is empty. The Gospels record the events of that first Easter morning. Hope read them for us just a few minutes ago. When those women go with heavy hearts out to the tomb, they're going to treat the body of Jesus with dignity, just to tenderly tend to his body. That's what they thought they were going to. And they go there and they find this tomb where the stone has been rolled away from the entrance. and they discover he's not here. He's risen. Jesus is risen from the dead. And when you think about it, how else could we know that the sacrifice of Jesus was enough? How else would we know that Jesus actually paid the price? God raises him from the dead. Someone said that in some cultures, when a deal is made, the price is laid down, and if you want to take that deal up, you pick it up. In a way, the price is laid down in Good Friday, and on Easter Sunday morning, it's taken up again because the deal has been done. Your sin has been paid for. How else would we know? Here's what the Bible simply says about the events of Easter. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This is what the Scriptures said. Jesus would die for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, again according to the Scriptures. Jesus fulfills what the Bible says. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again. At the heart of the events of Easter, there's an empty cross and an empty tomb. There is an emptiness around Easter, but not empty in the way that we sometimes mean it. That emptiness is filled not just with meaning. That emptiness is filled with power. The power of Easter is in the fact that the cross is empty. The power of Easter is in the fact that that grave is empty and we now have a Savior who is risen and living. That's the power of Easter. Hidden in the emptiness of a cross and the tomb. And it's this emptiness of Easter that transforms the emptiness that we feel in our lives too. And we all feel that emptiness in different ways at different times, but we all feel that there's something more to life than what we're living. And different things, different situations may bring us to that realization, but we come to it at some stage. And we try to do different things to fill up that emptiness. People just go into a busyness mode. The answer to my emptiness is simply to fill my diary, fill my days. So busy that my life is obviously filled up. And there's nothing wrong with being busy. But if it's just to fill our lives, then we need to ask other questions. Some people even try to fill that emptiness by being busy around the church, which is great. It's lovely to see folks busy around the church. And yet, that's not the answer to our emptiness. People turn to being religious at times to fill that emptiness. If I turn up, if I go to the church services, if I say the right things, if I do the right things, if I behave in the right way, then surely this emptiness will be filled up. And we miss out. Sometimes people fill their lives with stuff. The way to fill this emptiness I feel within me is to have more. And the world around us seems to push us into that. Just more stuff. If you had a little bit more, a little bit better, a little bit bigger, if you had the very latest model of whatever it is, that's how to fill up your empty life. Well, maybe we fall into that. We try to fill it up simply by filling our lives with stuff. Maybe it's relationships. My life feels empty, so if I have more relationships, if I just draw more people into my social circle, if I have more followers on Twitter, if I have more people looking at my page on Facebook, then my life will be full. And we miss out. We miss out. We try to fill our emptiness with other people. Some people desperately try to fill that, and they turn to drugs, they turn to drinking too much, they turn to all sorts of things, desperately trying to fill that emptiness that we feel. But here's a truth that we come to eventually. Simply this. There is an emptiness that only God can fill. There is an emptiness that only God can fill. Peter's one of my favorite characters in Scripture. He says the things that we so often think. I think I mentioned during the week at one of our reflections, I can remember a conversation here some years ago with chatting to a young man, and he said something. Now, it wasn't anything bad or wrong or anything, but he said it, and then he stopped and he turned to me and said, "Stephen, did I just say that?" I said, "Yes, you did." And he said, "Sorry, I only meant to think it." Peter actually says what we're thinking. Peter says the things. Peter was the one who says, "Jesus, there's no way I'm not going to follow you. No matter what happens, I will follow you, even if it means I'll die." And a few days later, Peter's the one who's denying Jesus. Never knew him. Nothing to do with him. Not me. And Peter's the one that Jesus lovingly brings back to himself. "Do you love me, Peter?" "You know I do, Lord." Peter knows the things that can fill that emptiness. I'm sorry, there's a bit of a long quotation on the screen, but it's simply this. Peter remembers, "It was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed." And here's an important phrase. "That you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers." You were bought out of that empty life, Peter. But it wasn't with perishable things such as silver and gold, but rather with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, the cross. "Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith, your hope, are in God." Peter knew about the emptiness. Peter had tried everything. "I can do this in my own strength." And Peter failed. He knew that space was never going to be filled with anything perishable. And he discovered that it was filled with Jesus. So, because Jesus has died, because Jesus is risen, your life need not be empty. Your life need not be empty. Jesus died, rose again. The emptiness of Easter, the empty cross, the empty tomb is the answer to the emptiness in our lives. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus knows we struggle with this emptiness. He knows that we wonder, what is there more to life? And Jesus says, "I will give you life, and life to the full. No more emptiness. No more emptiness." I came across this quote from Spurgeon, the Baptist preacher of a previous generation. And he simply says this: "You will never know the fullness of Christ until you know the emptiness of everything else but Christ." Spurgeon, in his own life and just watching the lives of people around, knew that people were struggling for something to fill that emptiness. They tried lots and lots of things, but they never knew the fullness of Christ until they realized everything else was empty. Folks, we celebrate Easter. There should be an immense joy welling up inside of us, not just as we sing the songs, but as we remember all that God has done for us, for you and for me, in Jesus Christ. As we remember the cross, which is now empty. As we remember the tomb, which is now empty. And we realize that our lives do not have to be empty. because of Jesus. In Romans, Paul prays for the church. Simply says this: may the God of hope fill you. Not may he put a little bit into your life. Not may he begin to address the issue of the emptiness that we all feel, but may he fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And listen to this: so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, in his extravagant love for you, gave his one and only Son, that your life may not just be full, but overflowing. May God grant us that experience today, tomorrow, and each day that we have, full and overflowing because of Jesus Christ. We'll pray together. Lord, there's often an emptiness in our lives that we may not acknowledge to other people, but we know we cannot hide from you. And so as we confess that emptiness, as we acknowledge that emptiness, Lord, may the emptiness of Easter fill us. May the good news of Jesus Christ, died, risen again, so impact our lives that we are full and overflowing. And this we ask in his precious name. Amen. The choir are going to lead us. It's a time when we can not just listen to the choir and enjoy the music, but a time when we can reflect and recognize all that God has done for us in Jesus. When I survey the wondrous cross.